Let's begin, and we're going to discuss Eber HaYarden and some specific psukim at the end of Parshas Matos that describe the settling of Eber HaYarden by Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven. As you know, the Torah tells us the whole story here, how there were two Shvatim, Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven, who wanted to take their share of Eretz Yisrael on the other side, on the east side of the Yarden. The land was land of pasture, they had a lot of sheep, it appealed to them. They make their case to Moshe Rabbeinu. At first, Moshe Rabbeinu was very reluctant. He thought it would be a repeat of the Chet HaMeraglim, but as they clarified their intentions and they made clear that they would fight with everybody when everybody would conquer Eretz Yisrael, so it wouldn't lead to a feeling of everyone feeling discouraged. To the contrary, they were committed to being part of Klal Yisrael, even as they took their share where they felt it belonged. Okay, so that's the story in the parasha of Matos. At the end of the parasha, we actually talk about the specific cities that they were, the Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven identified, what they wanted, and how they actually settled those cities, and the names that they gave. And I want to focus on those psukim that don't always get that much attention. But by way of introduction, I think we would do the following. There is a passage of the Ramban in Parshas Chukas that is very relevant to the whole idea of Eber HaYarden and the status of Eber HaYarden. It's a lot of literature, a lot of discussion among the Rishonim and Achronim. Exactly what is the halachic status of Eber HaYarden? Is it part of Eretz Yisrael? Is it not part of Eretz Yisrael? On the one hand, the king was a Sichon Melcho Emori. Emori is one of the seven nations. So it would seem to be part of Eretz Yisrael. On the other hand, it doesn't have the same status of Eretz Yisrael for certain halachos. We know that Bikurim is not brought from Eber HaYarden. It's not called Eretz Avos Chalav Dvash. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu, on the one hand, was told he can't enter Eretz Yisrael, and yet he was very much part and parcel of the conquest of Eber HaYarden. So there's a lot to discuss. We're not going to be able to go into the entire issue, but just to mention the Ramban, since we're learning the Ramban, and that's the Ramban in Parshas Chukas, and this would be found in the end of Parshas Chukas, when Moshe Rabbeinu sends a message to Sichon. This is Perek Chaf Aleph, and it's Pasuk Chaf Aleph. There, I just use this for reference. Chaf Aleph, Chaf Aleph. Vayishach, this is the actual story of when Bnei Yisrael conquered the land of Sichon and Og, is in the end of Chukas. There's a couple of psukim. There's so much that's describing it afterwards. We're going to have here in Parshas Matos, we have more in Parshas Devarim, where Moshe Rabbeinu describes how he divided it up. But the actual story itself of the miraculous miracle of conquering the lands of Sichon v'Og, and we make a big deal about this, everyone should know. In Halo HaGadol, we say on Shabbos, and at the Seder, with Sichon Melcha Emori, Kilom Chasdo, Og Melcha Bashem, Kilom Chasdo, these are miracles. We conquered a tremendous amount of land. And the question is, this land belonged to us, didn't belong to us, what is the status? And what would have been, had there not been Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven coming as they did in our parasha and requesting the land? I mean, meanwhile they conquered it. So what? It wasn't. Was it meant to be settled? Was it not meant to be settled? So this is part of the Ramban addresses in Parshas Chukas, and we'll begin with that, and then we'll go from there to the end of Matos. The Ramban says as follows. He says, the quoting the Rashi, that Moshe Rabbeinu sends out a peace feeler to Sichon. He says, let me pass through your land. Which implies that if Sichon would have acquiesced and said, okay, then there wouldn't have been a major battle to take this land over. But then again, if the land belonged to Klal Yisrael, then they would be allowed to take it regardless. So what would have been different had Sichon not chosen to fight, but would have said, okay. So the Ramban quotes Rashi, that Moshe Rabbeinu was not commanded to send out a message of peace, but he did it anyway. The Ramban continues and says, "Va'odavar be'ezras Hashem b'mkomo," and this is in Parshas Shoftim, "ki b'chol ha'umos nitzdavu l'ftoach lehem l'shom chutz mi'amon u'moav." Even though Klal Yisrael was supposed to conquer the land of the seven nations, but that doesn't mean that they wouldn't give the option for those nations to avoid getting killed. It wasn't an absolute obligation of killing everybody. It's only should they not accept the terms of the peace deal, so to speak, then they would get killed. So Moshe Rabbeinu had the commandment, or Yoshua in the case, as it may be, that for all the nations that Klal Yisrael were going to conquer, they were actually supposed to first send out Shalom. Avo be'emes, masha amar le'eba ve'artzecha. But what you have over here is something different. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Moshe osa me'atzmo derech pius. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, let me pass through. He was doing something they didn't have to do. He's being very nice to Sichel. Because the truth of the matter is, he didn't need permission. Because the land belongs to us. Ki eretz Sichel be'og, Yerushasam shel Yisrael ha'isa. And here the Ramban makes it very clear that the land of Eber HaYarden, here he's talking about Sichon and Og, which is what we're discussing here, this land was our heritage, our inheritance. Why? Ki le'emorihi. It was owned by the king of Emori. We know that originally some of the land, let's get our bearings here, also from Parshas Chukas, and it's going to come up here as well in the Ramban. Some of this land of Sichon was originally part of Moab. But there were some major battles that took place between Moab and Sichon. Sichon conquered many lands and cities of Moab. And now that it became Sichon's land, it became our land because it's part of the what was granted to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have the land of Emori. So what we couldn't get, if it were in the possession of Moab, we could get because it was now by Sichon, Amun Moab, Tiaru B'Sichon. This is true for Amun as well. And therefore, what would have followed is she'im yanu shalom. If they would have said, "Okay, you can go through," then everybody there would become servants, but they wouldn't get killed. They'd have to be mekabel mitzvos, and they'd be servitude, forced servitude. Okay, avo Moshe hayu yodeya. Now here's the thing. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to do this right now? If ultimately it's ours. So what's the difference? Why does Moshe need to send this feast filler right now? He wouldn't have conquered the land otherwise. Why not? Isn't it our land? What would have been different? Had it not been a battle right now between Sichon and Klal Yisrael, what would have been the fate of this land ultimately? It would have been ours. So what changed as a result of Sichon's battle with us, and what changed as a result of Reuven the God requesting the land for themselves? Says Ramban, Avo, Moshe haya yodea, ki Yisrael ata lo yichbishu ko asara aminim. He includes here the three additional nations that were mentioned to Avraham Avinu, Bispin Atsarim, total of 10, Keni, Knezi, Kadmoni, which includes Ammon, Moab, Seir. Moshe knew that he wouldn't get all the lands right away. By a chafetz, so what Moshe wanted was, sheyia kol kibusham, he wanted the initial stage of conquest to be on the other side, the land that's Tova, the land that's Zavas Chol V'Dvash, the land on the western bank. On the other side, he wanted that to be the conquest, which means to say that he would have not yet conquered Sichon, Og, just as he wouldn't have conquered Ammon, Moab, and Seir. That would have waited for later. So this way, everybody could be situated together. In other words, everything is Eretz Yisrael, everything is Kedushas HaAretz, everything is Shaykh for us, but there is within that everything, there's a section that's more Tova than the rest, and that's the land on the other side. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu would have wanted for Klal Yisrael to inherit and to settle the land on the other side, and the rest it'd get later on. Halotira, he says. Now he brings the example from Al Parsha. What would have been im lo bikshu mimenu b'nei God b'nei Reuven? So now that he has the land, right? So Sichon waged war, Og waged war, and Klal Yisrael now conquered all this area. Had b'nei God b'nei Reuven not come with their appeal that they have this land for them, what would have been lo yamaniach sham adam? So nobody would have settled it. Ela shetia lachareva. In other words, it would have just been left desolate and unsettled. They would have had it in their possession, but nothing would have been done with it. So that's the miut of the Sifrei, that it's considered to be you took it on your own. It wasn't meant to be part of the original conquest. The Odom Rabbeinu, the Eser Kedushos, that's the list of Mishnayos in the beginning of in the first paragraph of Kelim, that different levels of Kedusha. In other words, it has certain status which is less than the formal Kedusha Eretz Yisrael for certain halachas. V'chein nirav mikosuv sh'omar v'achim t'mei eretz achuzaschem pasuk in Yehoshua. Okay, and this is really the Ramban's understanding of the land of Sichon v'Og. And again, with Og, they never had a chance to send him a message because as soon as he saw what happened, he came out and started fighting. So this is an important way to introduce the whole Indian of Eber HaYarden. As Ramban understands it, it was Moshe Rabbeinu's intention initially not to conquer this land yet, and even when it was conquered, it wouldn't have been his intention to have it settled. It would have just remained desolate. Okay, meanwhile, what changed? And how we have the story in Parshas Matos. Mikne Rav, Hayul of Neirum, Negad, Atzim Ma'od. So they had a lot of cattle. And it says in the Pasuk, and let's take a look in Perek Lamed Beis at some of the language used to describe the specific cities, because that's what I want to focus on, the specific names of the cities that we find at the end of Parshas Matos. So we have here, they see the land, V'nei HaMakom Mekol Mikne. It was a land which was meant for cattle. So they come to the leadership, Vayomru Moshe Ve'Elazar HaKohen. Aaron had already died, as we know, from Parshas Chukas. So Elazar is now in place of Aaron. So they come to Moshe and Elazar Ve'Nisiyah HaEda. And here's a very interesting pasuk. This pasuk is just a list of names. Total of 9 cities mentioned. And you would think that, you know, you see a pasuk like this, you kind of pass over it very easily. What is it? Just names. Just goes to show you how incredibly deep Torah is. We'll soon see. Ataros, that's 1. The Divon is 2. The Yazer, 3. The Nimra, 4. The Cheshbon. Cheshbon could ring a bell for somebody, maybe, because we had that in Chukas with the land of, had been originally part of Moab. It was capital city of Sichon. Okay, the Cheshbon, the El Ole, that's 6. Usvam, Unevo, Uvaon. So these are 9 cities, and they begin and say, these cities are the main cities of this land that Hashem has struck in for us. He has beaten up the land, the king Sichon and Og, Ashehika, Hashem, Pniadas, Yisrael, Eretz Mikne, Hivah, Vedacha Mikne, and they want to have it for themselves. So they label these cities by name, total of 9 cities. Okay, let's hold that frame, and let's look at the end of the Parsha. And after the back and forth and back and forth with Moshe and Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven, that the Torah goes on to describe. So then at the end, Moshe goes along and says, okay, so this is the deal. You're going to cross over with everybody else, and you're going to end up helping everybody conquer the land. And if you will do that, that's your part of the bargain, then this land will be given to you. And meanwhile, of course, the wives and the children would be here, and they could have it settled for the animals, which is what they wanted. So now the Torah describes exactly what took place practically at this juncture. So let's look at starting Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Vayiten Lahem Moshe Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven Bnei Chatzi Shevet Menashe. Interesting, suddenly another half of Shevet gets involved. It's a lot to say about that. Apparently the Ramban understands that the land was even bigger and they needed someone else to volunteer to come in. So you have half of Menashe also populating this land. So this is going to be described more in next week's parsha as well. The land of Sichon was what was given to Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven. The land of Og is what was given to Chatzi Menashe. That's how it breaks down. More specifically, you'll find it in Devarim. Its cities with its boundaries, suburbs, all around. Now, what I want to focus on is the next couple of sukkim for the rest of this year. The last sukkim of Parshas Matos. Let's see. Vayivnu v'nei Gad. Now we talk about v'nei Gad and what they built. As Divon, v'esatoros, v'esaroer. So far, 3 cities. Just think about those names. Do they sound familiar to anybody? So we could. We could go back and see those names in the beginning. So we have Divon, Atoros, and Aroer. So Divon and Ataros were actually mentioned in that first pasuk, Ataros v'Divon, right? Aroer is an area that wasn't mentioned in the list, but that's also here as well. Now we have another 3 names in the next pasuk, right? There's Atros Shofan, okay, we don't have that before. There's Yazer, okay, that we did have before, if you go back to see that. You see Yazer before? The Ataros, the Divon, the Yazer. Okay, so that's there. The Yagbaha, that we did not see before, so that's another name. Let's go to the next pasuk for Bnei Gad. The Esbeis Nimra, the Esbeis Haran. These are two more names. Have we seen either of these before? So we have, the closest we have to Beis Nimra is what? Again, going back to that pasuk earlier, Nimra. So that's Beis Nimra, would be Nimra. And then Beis Haran, so that doesn't seem to line up. So, okay, most of this needs to be identified. And that's what B'nai Gad did. They built these cities as Ari Mitzah Begidros Tzon, for cities that are fortified, and also for the animals. That is what B'nai Gad built. Now the next pasuk goes on with B'nai Ruvain. U'B'nai Ruvain Banu, and it's going to give you a couple of names for that, this pasuk and the next. Es Cheshbon ve'es El Olei ve'es Kiryasayim. Now again, if you do your fine detective work, we can see how this matches up. Cheshbon and El Olei, those are mentioned right after Atoros v'Dibon v'Yazer v'Nimra. So we have Cheshbon and El Olei, so that's these two. Kiryasayim we didn't have before, but that's mentioned here for the first time. And now we have the next pasuk, an interesting pasuk. The Es Nevo, the Es Baal Ma'on. Now, if we go back to the beginning there, what do we have? Nevo, look at the last of the list of the nine. Usvam, Unevo, Uva'on. Those are the last three of the pasuk Atoros V'Divon, the pasuk that has the nine cities. Usvam, Unevo, Uva'on. So what does it say here? The Es Nevo, okay, that's good, that's Nevo. Ves Baal Ma'on, so that's Baal Ma'on. What is that? We had Be'on, here it says Baal Ma'on, so perhaps it could be, maybe, we don't know for sure. And then it says, skipping the next two words for a second, the Es Sivma. Now Sivma, of course, sounds like which word? Sounds like Sivam, and Rashi in fact says that that's the same. That's Sivma, is Sivam of before. And it says that it says in the middle, Musa Bos Shem. And this is what we're going to focus on. Musa Bos Shem means that the names were changed. So after, it mentions after Nevo and Baal Ma'on, Musa Bos Shem, the names were changed. And then there's the Es Sivma, which we said is Sivam. And then the pasuk finishes, Vayikru v'shemos esmos ha'orem asher banu. And they called by names the names of the city that they built. So this is a very cryptic pasuk. And that's what we're going to zero in. This pasuk right here, tucked away at the end of Parshas Matos, when it goes through the cities that were built by B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, so after going through a whole list, it mentions in the middle, Musa Bos Shem, and we have to know what that means and what it's going on. And then the end of the pasuk, Vayikru v'shemos esmos ha'orem asher banu. So what exactly does all this mean? So let's begin with Rashi. And this is where the Ramban is going to start nitpicking on Rashi. We have to figure out a way to answer for Rashi and then see what the Ramban does with this pasuk. Says Rashi on this pasuk, pasuk lamed ches. This is our focus now. The Es Nevo, the Es Baal Ma'on, Musa Bos Shem. So Ramban quotes Rashi, Nevo u'Baal Ma'on, Shmos Avodah Zarahim. So these two cities that were just mentioned, beginning of the pasuk, were names of Avodah Zarah. V'hayu ha'amorim korin arehem ashem Avodah Zarah shalem. So the Amorites would refer to the cities by the name of the deity. U'b'nei Reuven heisebu shmosam v'shmos acherim. Musa Bos Shem means that these two particular cities that had the names of Avodah Zarah, their names were changed. Zehu Musa Bos Shem, meaning specifically going on these two cities, Nevo and Baal Ma'on.
So,
and
Nevo is the same?
Nevo, wait a second. The names were changed. In other words, the name of Avodah Zarah was Nevo. The name of the city that was named after Avodah was Baal Ma'on. But the Torah is telling me that Musa Bos Shem, that B'nai, as Rashi says, B'nai Ruvain and B'nai Gad, they changed the names of these two cities. This is what Rashi is saying. Again, let's read the words of Rashi as quoted by the Ramban. V'hayu ha'morim koran aleim ha'shem avodah zarah shalem. U'v'nei Reuven he'sebu shmosam. Musa Bos Shem means through B'nai Ruvain and B'nai Gad, or B'nai Ruvain, in this case, it's B'nai Reuven, the ones that are building these cities. B'nai Ruvain banu, right? They built Cheshbon, El Olei, Kiryasayim, And now Nevo'o and Baal Ma'on, their names, Bnei Reuben changed them. So Bnei Reuben, Heisebu Shmosam Lishmos Acherim, Zehu Musabos Shem, Nevo'o Baal Ma'on Musabos Lishem Acher, Lashon Rashi. Okay, so now we know how Rashi read the Pasuk. That these two cities, Nevo'o was an Avodah Zarah, and Baal Ma'on was another Avodah Zarah. And because they had names of Avodah Zarah, their names were changed. What's Lamed Ches? This is part. No, that's the point. They built these cities, and these.
Mentioned Nevo'o in the beginning.
Yes, that's the point. The cities, Nevo'o is in the beginning, and it says that now they're building these cities, they change their names. These two names were changed. What was the new name? Doesn't say. What it does say is that these two names were changed. Now, we're going to come back to Rashi, but first let's see what the Rabban has to ask and how he learns the Pasuk, and then with time permitting, we'll go back and see what we can answer for Rashi. V'akasuv sha'amar asks the Rabban, question number one, what does Rashi do at the end of the Pasuk? V'akasuv sha'amar v'yikru'u v'shemos es shmos ha'orim asher banu. What do you do at the end of the Pasuk? And they referred by names the names of the city that they built. So what does that go on? What does it go on? Only on these two cities or on everything? Al kulam yermos, lo al Nevo'o va'al Baal Ma'on bilvad. So the Ramban has a simple question. Rashi is learning pshat, Musabos Shem means Nevo'o and Baal Ma'on had their names changed by Bnei Reuven. But then it says right afterwards, Vayikru'u v'shemos, as Shmos HaRamashem. It sounds like they gave the names to all of them, not just to Nevo'o and Baal Ma'on. Would Rashi learn it's just on those two? It sounds like every one of them had new names. That's question number one. V'od, second question, Matam sheyazkir osam akosu b'shem ha'avodah zarah. Why would the Pasuk, this may be what's bothering Ruby, why does the Pasuk mention their name by the Avodah Zarah name, the Yomar, and tell you, ki b'nei Reuven banu osan b'heisebu shmam? The Torah, b'nei Reuven built up these cities and changed their names. The lo yazkir Hashem atov hamusav lehem, and not give you in the Torah the good name that was changed to. In other words, all you have in the Pasuk is the old name that was no good, that they changed, the name that was altered. But the name that it became now, that the Torah leaves out. Why? Moreover, the Ramban continues, Uminig ha-kasuv, le'olam, the orim ha-nilkados. Whenever you have cities that are conquered, you find in throughout Tanakh, la'haskir ha-shem ha-chadash, that the conqueror wants to put his stamp on the conquest. How does he do it? That, you know, you have this in history as well. We all know throughout history this is the way it is. That the conqueror wants to name the city after themselves, after someone close to them, or to show that now it's under their jurisdiction, so they get rid of the old name and they give it a new name. And we have this in Tanakh. Vayikru'u l'reshem don, k'shem don aviyem, Pasuk in Yehoshua. Vayikru eshem chavos yoyer, Pasuk or two right after this one. Vayikru lo novach, the very last Pasuk of Pachas Matos. So again, so you see that it's typical when you have a conqueror to change the names of all the cities, and that's probably what it means, Vayikru v'shemos, that they change the names of everything. So why do we only talk about Nevo'o and Baal Ma'on having names that are changed? That's another question.
Is Sibma also the name of Avodah Zarah?
No, it doesn't seem that way, because Rashi says Musabos Shem is going only on two. Only on the two of them.
Why do they break it up?
That's good. That's a good question. It's a good. Why did they just put Sibma in the list earlier? It's a good question. It's a very good question. There's a lot of pikabola about Sibma, but not for us right now. There's a famous gra based on the Arizal. Sibma is Rashi Tevos, the Arba Avos Nezikin, of Bava Kamash fame, right? Shorbor, Mava Hever, and there's a lot of deep ideas, but not for us right now. This Sibma is its own inyan. Okay, let's go on. Continues the Ramban. Gam b'choa musabos shem yaskirem. Whenever you have cities that have names changed, the Pasuk tells me what the new name is and what the old name was. In other words, v'shem chevron lefanim kiryas arba. Hebron's old name was Kiryas Abba, v'shem Dvir Lefanim, Kiryat Sefer. So therefore the Ramban has problems with Rashi's pshat. Okay, now the Ramban is going to have a whole new pshat here. So I want to say pshat and Rashi, but maybe we'll do the following. I don't want to get too confused. Let's try giving an answer for Rashi for now, and then we'll see what the Ramban does in his own way. A whole different pshat than Rashi. So the Mizrahi and the Maral both try to explain Rashi. Let me tell you what they say to be Miyashiv Rashi. So what are our kashas on Rashi? Number one, it sounds like all the names were changed, and that's what said Vayikru Vishemos at the end of the Pasuk. And why would it not mention the new names? Okay, so the Mizrahi says something, the Maral tries to tweak that, and then the Maral gives his own pshat. So I'm reading it from the Maral and the Gurariye, how he quotes the Mizrahi and how he explains the Mizrahi's pshat, and then his own idea. So he starts and he says, the Mizrahi answers the kasha as follows. There's a difference between, according to Rashi, the names of Nevo Baal Ma'on that were changed, that the Torah says Musar Bos Shem, and the other cities that also got new names. All the cities got new names, like it says at the end of the Pasuk, Vayikru Vishemos Eshmos Arma Shebanu. But the difference is the timing. When were the names changed? So the Mizrahi says, those cities that were named after Avodah Zarah, those names were changed immediately. Even before the cities were rebuilt and had a new structure and everything else, the names were immediately changed. Why? Because we didn't want that area to be associated with the Avodah Zarah. And therefore, the names were changed right away, even before they actually built the city up. However, the other cities, they could keep their old name. Meanwhile, it's only when the cities got built up, that's when Vayikru Vishemos, that's the Mizrahi's terrace. Now, the Maral asks on the Mizrahi, he says, I don't understand, because if that were true, and he says, why would it be so? Why would they want to change the name right away? Because of the bad association to Avodah Zarah. Now let's mention already now, it's going to come up in the Maral's Om Pshat, there is a pasuk in Parshas Matos in Parshas Re'eh that could emphasize this idea of why you want to change the name of an Avodah Zarah. And that is the pasuk, V'ibadetem es shemam min ha'mokom ahu. After saying you should destroy the Avodah Zarah from Eretz Yisrael, it also says you should erase their name. So there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Those of you who went to Avodah Zarah in Yeshiva this year would remember it. That Mem Vav, and Rashi quotes in the Chumash, "Be'ibadtem es shemam min ha'mokom ahu l'chanos l'ashem." You have to use a euphemism. You don't want to use the exact words of the Avodah Zarah that are connected to the city. Yachol l'shvach. What's the name l'shvach? Rather, lo l'shvach lo gnai. Just change it. No, shakes to shakzenu, b'sayev to sa'avenu, keitzad. Hayu koronosa base galia, koronosa base karya. Ein ko. So let's say there was a name called base galia, which is a positive idea, high up, open, called base karya, which means low, like being dug in. And if it's called ein ko, called ein kotz. So this idea of ibaltem es shimon in light of shakis tishakzenu is you have to do whatever you could to erase the associations of the words of Avodah Zarah. So this is what's lying behind what the Mizrahi is saying. There's no, you can't wait till the city gets rebuilt. Right away, the land is yours, there's already some association of Avodah Zarah. So these two names were changed immediately. As far as the other cities were concerned, when they built them up, that's when they gave them the new names. That's the Mizrahi's answer for Rashi. Now, the Maharal asks, but wait a second. Who changed the names from Nevo Baal Ma'on? Rashi's words are, it was done by Bnei Reuven, right? Bnei Reuven Heisebu Es Shimon. Now, if you're going to say that it was because the builder wants to put a stamp on it, so then I understand why Bnei Reuven are the ones to name it, to rename it. But if, according to Rashi, the point of these two cities being renamed was because of the association of Avodah Zarah, so who conquered the land? Everybody conquered the land. So why is it Bnei Reuven who are the ones who are giving the new, changing the name because of the association of Avodah Zarah? It has nothing to do with building the new city. It's a function of the association of the past. So why is it dependent on Bnei Reuven, asked the Maharal on the Mizrahi? It should be everybody changing the name. And Rashi is mashmad. The Pasuk doesn't really say, Musar Bosheim doesn't say who. It's describing the building building of Bnei Gad and so on, Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven. But Rashi is saying clearly that Bnei Reuven were the ones who gave it the new name, who changed the name. So this is his kasha, and he says, as I just asked, Bishlama in Kriyas Hashem, Haisa Achar Shebanu HaMakomos. So then I understand why Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven are giving it a new name. Avol im no Masha Kodim Shebanu HaMakomos Karu Em Shemos Kadesh Shol Yiyu Nikra Mashem Avodah Zara HaYiroi Shemiyat Shekavshu Es HaMakomos Likros Lem Shem Kol Yisrael. Why Dafka Bnei Gad or Bnei Reuven Dafka? The Yeshua Tarets, he says, maybe you'll say, when Rashi says that Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven changed the name and not everybody else, he says because of the Ramban that we began the shir with. You see, had Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven not wanted this land to be settled by them, it would have been totally desolate, as Moshe Rabbeinu had originally intended. If it would have been desolate, then no one has any name. It's totally desolate. It's totally left alone. No one thinks about it. It's nothing. There's no association of anything. So therefore, there would be no need for Klal Yisrael either to change the name, because as far as they're concerned, there's nothing to do with it right now. So of course, there's no association to Avodah Zarah. No one's living there. No one's thinking about it. So Masha Enke, now that Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven are requesting the cities to live in, as Ramban says in Parshas Chukas, now that they want to live there, now they took on the initiative to give a new name, because now it's going to be populated, so they had to change the name immediately, even before they built anything. That would be an answer to explain the teretz of the Mizrahi. However, after saying this, the Maral says, still and all, it's a dochek that there should be this distinction that Rav Mizrahi makes between whether you change the name right away, before you built it up, or after you built it up. So he doesn't like this pshat, and therefore he wants to say a different teretz for Rashi. So he says as follows. So fikach nireh, that here's the difference. Rashi holds that you could change a name in one way, you could change a name another way, and it's a very big difference. Sometimes you could change a name, but the first name still sticks. I don't know if this happened or not. I mean, Havdil in some way, but Har Nof, there was a push to change the name of Har Nof to be something like something Yosef, I forget already what it was called, something Ramat Yosef or something after Rav Yashiv and Rabbi Yosef. And I don't know, at the end it was a big revolt. I don't know if they ended up changing it or not. But even if they would have changed it, even if they did change it, people are always going to know it as Har Nof, or many people, because that was always the name that people remembered. So in a similar way, the Maral says that even after a name is changed, I'll give you another mussel. There's a bridge that we call the Tappan Zee Bridge. I think it's technically called Mario Cuomo Bridge. But I don't know, as far as I'm concerned, it's a Tappan Zee Bridge. But again, the carry tunnel, we call it the battery tunnel. You call it a name, but the Maestra, people always remember it by the original association. Shekain Timtzeh, he says, B'cha, we know a place can have different names. Even after the new name is given, lo nisbatel Hashem HaRishon. And therefore, you needed to find a way to change these names in such a way that it would never have any possibility of having the old name still connected to it. So therefore, if you do it in such a way, and he has an interesting way to put it, if you do it in such a way that you keep something of the original, but then you distort it, then it will erase the original name. If you take a whole new name, then it has two names. It has the old name and the new name, and people could still refer to it by the old name. But if you take the old name and you twist it and you distort it, so then people are not going to still refer to the old name. It's going to now be the distorted form of the old name, which is now the new name. So he says,
well,
so
why don't we change names of our Hebrew month into names of Avodah Zarah?
That's a good question in its own right. Why we, the Ramban Parshas Bo talks about that, why we have names like Tammuz. We're still in the month of Tammuz right now, which is really in Avodah Zarah. You're asking a very good question. It's a good question to think about. Nashim Mavako says that Tammuz, the Ramban has a little bit on it, but it requires more investigation. Therefore, basically, this is the Maral's suggestion. And in another vein, he says a similar idea. Inami, he says, the cities that had Avodah Zarah names were Musabos Legamri, that they were never called by the old name anymore. The other cities, that had names which were Parev, so they taka remained with two names. They could have the new name of B'nai Ruvain and B'nai Gad that they wanted to put their stamp on it, that's the Vayikru V'Shemos, and they still had the old name also, because there's nothing wrong, it's just that it has a new name. So both approaches are of a similar vein. So we have two answers for Rashi. One answer, Lufi Rashi, is the Mizrachi's Teretz, and that has to do with the timing of it. When were the names changed? By these two names, they were changed right away by the two Avodah Zarah cities, and the rest were after they built them anew. According to Maral, the basic approach is that when it comes to the two cities of Avodah Zarah, they had to change the name so that it would never have the old name, either because they made sure it would not have the old name, or they twisted the old name in such a way that no longer would people know it by the original name. The other ones could still maintain the connection even as it took on a new name. However, the Ramban has a new way of reading the whole pasuk. Yeah.
What bothers me is that when it comes to Ma'on and Va'on, that from a linguistic perspective, the Bumav, the Va'on and Ma'on, so that really would not change. It's something if you tell me one is Va'on and you give it some totally foreign name, but the name that it's replaced is very similar linguistically.
Well, I'm not sure you're assuming that Ba'on and Baal Ma'on are the same. I wasn't sure when I read it. I pointed out the similarity.
I'm assuming that.
Yeah, I don't know. The Avodah Zarah, Nevo and Baal Ma'on were Avodah Zarah. Now, as far as what was mentioned in earlier pasuk about Taurus V'divon, we saw Nevo and we saw Ba'on. It may be Ba'on and Baal Ma'on are the same, but maybe not. Maybe this is a different city. It's not 100% clear to me. But either way, Baal Ma'on was the Avodah Zarah. And what the new name was, we don't know. You're saying Ba'on was the new name. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. After all, Nevo was mentioned before, and Nevo was changed. So let's see the Ramban's Pshat, and then we'll just end with Rabbeinu Bachya, just about this Ataras V'divon Pasuk. The Ramban has a very interesting Pshat, totally different than Rashi. Says the Ramban, I'll tell you what I think is going on this pasuk. Not Rashi's pshat. Va'akaro ve'lai. What appeals to me is as follows. Ke'elu ha'shemos, these names, ho'yishmos ha'orem biyad moav. These names, Ataras, Divon, Yazer, and so on, Nevo, all these names were names that were originally Moav names, Moavite names. Originally it was owned by Moav. Sichon took it over. And eventually, you know, when Sichon was run over, so Moab people began to resettle the land. So really what you have is as follows. These names are names of Moab. The Sichon kavash kol ha'arim ha'ega mimelch Moab harishon. As the pasuk tells us in earlier parshios, that Sichon conquered these lands from the original king of Moab. Ki king Sif, for example, it's written b'cheshbon, the Divon Umedva. So we have already a few names mentioned in Parshas Chukas. Cheshbon, Divon, Adivon. We had Divon there before. Remember Parshas Chukas, Divon. Good old Divon. These are Moav names. Kimo Sha'amav, Anir Moavat Cheshbon, Adivon. V'chen Yirali, Midim Yiftach Sha'amav, B'Shevet Yisrael, B'Cheshbon, V'Vnoseho, V'Aro, V'Vnoseho. Yiftach responds in the letter to the Melch B'nei Amon, that Kar Yisrael, when they settled in Cheshbon and its suburbs, Aror and its suburbs, B'chol Ha'arim Asher De Arnon, V'hi Aroer Asher Lachol Miyad Sichon, V'hinei. Now, Kashi Higla Tiglas Pelesa Melch Asher L'Rinei Bagadi. The first Shvatim, speaking of 3 weeks now, so we're thinking about the history of the exile, the first Shvatim to be exiled were Reuven and Gad. And it was through Tiglas Pelesa. So these lands, B'nai Reuven and Gad were now exiled. Who went to resettle the lands after Reuven and Gad were sent out? Chazru Moav, the Yeshu Ba'artzamu Ba'arayim. So the original indigenous people before Reuven and Gad from Moab, they went back and resettled those lands that were originally under their possession. How do I know that? Kimatsanu b'sefer Yirmiyahu. Kashehechrim Nebuchadnezzar es Moav, when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Moav, so what cities did Nebuchadnezzar conquer, says the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Shalachad mehem kol ha'orim ha'ele, v'hizkir b'shemos, cheshbon ve'al olei v'kiryasayim, v'divon ha'nevo, v'yazir v'aroher. Look at the Pesukim there in Yirmiyahu memches, you'll see, u'bal ma'on, shekro beis ma'on, u'beis nimra, shekoro nemarim, v'yatsa. And all these names are names of Moab cities. So what's going on here? Moab was long gone, I thought, right? Moab was taken over by Sichon. The answer is that when Nebuchadnezzar overran these cities, or Tiglath-Pileser, sorry, Tugas Pileser, exiled Reuven the God, then Moab went, came back to those cities, and now when Nebuchadnezzar overran the cities, so these cities are given, are referenced by their names of the Moab names, because that's what they renamed it again, the way it was originally. Varekuan Lemoab. V'chein Yeshaya, kisheshatav Sancheiv, used the language of Shatav, when he overran as Moab, huskru sham ruban shalarm halalu. Because it goes like this. Ki l'roveni v'lagodi higotchila, v'achakach Shatav Amon Moab. So now we're going to learn Pshat in the Pasuk as follows. L'chein nira. So here's what happened. Interesting thing. Ki perush musabo shame is as follows. She'elu ha'orim kulon hey Musa both shame she'hei sebu ha'emori es shemam harishon kishoi b'yad Moab. Emorites took over the lands of Moab and they changed the name from the Moab names. Ubnei Reuven the God the Od karu osam b'shemos kesher banu osam, and Bnei Reuven the God quoted names when they built it. V'lo amar akasa b'yikru shemos la'ar mashem, but it doesn't say that they gave them new names. Abu Omar Vayikru Vishemos Eshemos Ha'arim. What did Reuven and God do? They renamed it what was its name before Sichon took over and changed it. They gave it back again the name of Moab. That's the Pasuk's language. Vayikru Vishemos Eshemos Ha'arim Eshebanu. Ki karu lehem Vishemos Eshemos Harishonim Asher Hayu lehem Mitchila. And Sichon wanted to erase the names of Moab. And what did they do? They gave it back again the name that Moab had. Why? Ola Hovish es Moab, either in order to embarrass Moab, that these are, look, we're in your land now, these are your cities, and we took it over. Oh, Kashir Skiru Abuseinu, Shayo Emorim Koronolem Orem Hashem Abodazar Shalahem. Or, like Chazal say, the Amorites gave it Abodazar names, and apparently the Moab names were just Parav. So the Moab names, which were Parav, were what Reuben and God wanted it now to have. Avalora Inubi Yoshua Shay Sebushmosa Orem Shekabash. We never find that the cities that Kaiso conquered, they changed their names because of, to show that we're going to stamp it with their own names. Okay, so the time that Sibma, Shabanu, Sibma, the Enum Musabos Shem. So according to the Ramban, a new pshat, Musabos Shem means that the Amorites had changed their name, but what did Reuben and God do? They went and they gave it back again, Vayikru Vishemos, the names that were originally the names of Moab, either because to embarrass Moab or because of the Avodah Zarah associations of Amori, which is a very totally different meaning than Rashi. Just to conclude, to give you a sense of the nister that's behind all of this, because all this is all a derech hanigla. So the Gemara in Brachas talks about the mitzvah to be mavis sedra, and it says a person has a mitzvah yashkan parshiyosu v'at sibor shnayim mikra ve'echa targum daf ches in Brachas afila toros v'divon. Give you the example of that pasuk. So why that pasuk? Rashi says there's no targum. Tosas asks there is targum. There is a little bit of targum on it. It doesn't exactly, but there's a comment here of Rabbeinu Bachya that gives you a sense of the depth of this pasuk. The Rabbeinu Bachya says, these are cities of Eretz Sichon Melcha Amori. The Yesh Me'em Mekomos Shel Avodah Zarah, Shel Ovdim Ovdim Sham. He goes at Derech Rashi, Shebeim Nevo'u Bal Ma'on. So he says, those are Avodah Zarah. And then he brings you the targum on the pasuk. And then he says, as follows. He says, Ubnei Reuven kishabanu es eilu karo osam b'shemos acherim. He goes, Aderach Rashi, Musa b'shem, kishinu es shemam li'kari b'shem acher man yizacher shem avodazara. Ukach amru chazal, therefore chazal tell us, la'olam yashkim adam pash yosef matzibur, shnayim mikav echatam, afila toras v'divon. Hiskir ha'kosav hazeh. Why this pasuk? L'fi sheyesh behem shemos shel avodazara. Shelo Tomar, don't say, Kevin Shah Targum Upirish Akasuv, anyone who Targum a Pasuk Azeh, Ki Yeshbu Zikaran Avodah Zarah. We don't want to say the Targum in this. The Targum makes it more accessible. It's the vernacular. And if you can use the Targum, you're going to be mentioning Avodah Zarah. Alkin Bo Chachamim Lomar, Shah the Pasuk Azeh, Roy Laskiro, Shelo Hakibo. Now, Vitzarach Shetis Bonin, Ki Od Yeshbu Binyan Aram Elu, in these building of these cities and their names, in Yenister. There's a very hidden thing here about Kosovo, Zayefair, Betachtonim, the Yirmos, the Elyonim. V'timtza v'pasuk zeh, nine names. K'neged, nine vayomers in Parshas Bereishis. There are nine vayomer elkins, and the Asiri is considered the tenth of the ten Asar Mamaros. Asiri ingolas kiro kihu ayin. It's beyond, it's like the keser, the most elevated of the Asar Spiros. It's ayin. Alkin hutzvichu loma bereishis nami maimrahu. That's the tenth. The way that the mamaros flow down to this world, this pasuk, which is just about cities, it doesn't sound like it's a big deal. You should know it's a very big deal. Timsebo inyan gadol, the ikir shakol tolibo, fishakoa Torah kua kesher echad ubinyan echad. The entire Torah is intertwined. The ein hefesh, he's paraphrasing here from the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, ein hefesh ben parshas alufei Esav, parshas vayishlach, ubein atoros vedivon, vaadom alehen, ubein aseres hadivros. Ki hakol mi'ikar echad, mi'motza echad, it's all one integrated unit of Torah, mi'meimav min hamigdash he mayotzim, v'kulan nitnu me'roa echad, and he goes on with this. You can always look it up and see however much you can understand. I don't understand much of it, enough to tell you that obviously what seems here just a very trivial description of psukim and cities and names, but knowing what I know about the Gra's comment about Sivma, Keneged, the Arvavos Nezikin, we know that there's a lot here in terms of the whole Mahaluch of Eber HaYarden and the relationship of Eber HaYarden to Eretz Yisrael. V'Hashem Yarenu Niflos Mitoraso. Thank everybody for coming. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Chazak, chazak as well. Chazak, chazak. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you,
everybody. Okay, Shabbos.